Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play.
All right, happy Friday and welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, but with a twist. Brian Baldinger in studio with us today, kind enough to rock and roll with us for four consecutive hours from 6 until 10 a.m. So we are going to open up the phones to you. Ask Baldy and Lowe, two former football players, anything you want, obviously within reason here. Do I even need to say that?
No, but unfortunately you do have to say that. You can't, talk about too much life off the field. But if I was going to be somebody to call in, 888-957-9570, things about like toughest player you played against or maybe funniest thing you saw in a locker room.
Best looking cheerleaders.
Yeah, no, that's like
important
that.
Stuff. Yeah.
888-957-9570. What's the answer to that question?
Well, the Raiders back in the day were pretty strong group. They were a little different looking, Like they were a little more on the mature side, let's say, A little distracting. Back in the Coliseum when the Raiders were playing in L.A., like you came out of your locker room and the cheerleaders were like basically changing on the walkway down to the field. Like they're doing their hair and their makeup, and it was just, a big distraction, going by all that.
Dallas was always
good.
They were built, worked out hard. So, yeah.
And yeah, they had the white go-go boots.
Yeah.
Was there ever, were players ever instructed, stay away? Was there ever any sort of policy with that? Because Chris Cooley, the former tight end of the Redskins, his wife was a Redskins cheerleader. And, she got in a lot of trouble. She got fired from that because they had a relationship. And then,
that happens all the time.
They call it the anti-fraternization
rule. Right. Exactly. Oh, it happens all the time. In Philadelphia, they said, you guys had a special little window.
We had the door. We used to peek underneath the door in the visiting locker room.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Not me.
Yeah. Weren't you the one that literally just brought up the story?
It was through the league. Everyone knew about it.
So that's, of course. It's all the other guys. It was you.
Jim McMahon used to always be in there every game day, just the posing thing. He just thought it was the biggest kick.
When you got that defense handling their business,
Yes.
You don't have to worry about going out there and making plays. You got the 46 zone out there.
Oh, man. To try to figure out what they're going to do, that's another team that if you're a Niner fan and you're thinking about wild card possible opposition, Chicago's got the defense to end all defenses, but offensively they can't get it going. The end of that game against Denver last week was incredible.
It was a bizarre finish. Ending. I still can't exactly figure out all the things that happened in the last minute of that game for Denver to lose. But, yeah, Chicago 2 weeks in a row.
What are they going to do?
Well, look, the offense was really complimentary last year to the number one defense in football. The defense, though, last year, they led the league in takeaways. That's what Vic does. And, they gave him a lot of short fields. And then the defense scored 6 touchdowns. And until the very end, the kicking game was good. So they did it in a lot of different ways a year ago.
Do you think this defense is going to get worn out? Because you think about what they have to do, what you're asking Chicago defense, the players, how many plays, the snaps.
I don't think you can wear a Khalil or a Keem out, those guys. They're just wired. Roquan Smith, they're just wired to, basically take care of business, finish it. They won't consider themselves an elite defense unless they start scoring. And that's good defenses are scoring defenses. So that's what they're going to try to do.
Niners were doing a little bit of that in week one. Couple pick sixes. And Quan Alexander got ejected from that game. But we haven't asked you about him at all yet. Lowe's been hyping him up since back in August. And a lot of people saw the contract. But they also hear about the knee injury. And in San Francisco for years, it's been drafting players with injuries, signing players with injuries. This dude showed up in a big way. He looks like one of those guys that just wrecks games. Like he's out there taking souls.
It was Levante David and Quan Alexander in Tampa together. They were as good a young tandem as there was in the league. And I remember one year, Tampa was playing pretty well, and then they suspended Kwan the last four games of the season. They didn't win a game. Like, he makes a difference. But those kids, these kids from LSU, they just love the game. They just love it. They love preparing for it. They love playing. The game's important to them. Like, you could go around the league, guys that didn't start, like Danielle Hunter at LSU, like, they're great players right now in this league. You talk to guys like Jarvis Landry. These guys love the game. And I think that's what Kwan does. I think he loves it. I think it was a good signing. It's an underrated position because those guys never, like him and Fred, they're probably not going to leave the field. They're going to play every down.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Ask Baldy, ask Lowe. Phone lines are open if you guys want to hit up either guy. 888-957-9570. Adil in San Jose. Adil, welcome to the show. You're on with Baldy and Lowe. Fire when ready.
Hey, Baldy, looking forward to the call on Sunday. For a completely selfish reason, who do you think is going to have a better fantasy day in terms of output, Matt Breida or Raheem Mostert for the Niners? The teams are doing like a running back by committee. Who do you think has a bigger game?
Interesting. Thank you for the phone.
I think they're both averaging 5.9 yards a carry. You know, I think they're both averaging the same right now. But, you know, Breida's the starter, and I think he'll probably, you know, it's hard to say because they may just go with the hot hand. They're not going to run like they did against Cincinnati. That's not going to happen. But I would say Breida right now.
Breida seems like the guy who's going to get a lot of work right up until they get to the goal line, and then it's vulture mode with Jeff Wilson. And Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to give it to Wilson in the tough yards. And look, he walked in the end zone last week like it was nothing. It was well-blocked play.
888-957-9570. We're 10 minutes away from having to pick losers, which is what we do. We're not abiding. This contest has no prize, so we're intentionally trying to pick as many losers as possible. We got four games. The Vikings -9 over the Raiders. The Niners -6.5 over the Steelers. Rams -3 Sunday Night Football at the Browns. Bears -4 at the Redskins. So start studying up. We're going to have to figure out which four are going to lose. Do you have an idea of any that really stand out to you?
Yeah, I have an idea on all four of them, but I'm just trying to like lock in on what I think so that when we go to pick the opposite, I won't get locked up like last week when you had us all twisted on Philly. Did we like Philly or Atlanta? And then which one were we going to go with, Lo? You remember that.
I did the whole speech on how Atlanta was going to win, and then at the end it was like, all right, so yeah, we're taking Atlanta. And it's like, wait a minute, no, we're picking the loser. I got everyone twisted up. That's
and last
on
week
me.
We went 2-2 last week, which is the only record that is totally unacceptable for us. 0-4 is the goal.
Right.
1-3 is great. But 2-2, we can't be stuck in the middle like that.
0-4 every single week. That's
yeah,
what we're
locking in
here.
On that. Without a doubt.
888-957-9570 if you would like to weigh in. 888-957-9570 if you'd like to weigh in. Let's do a little version.
My one lock, Joe, is going to be the Raiders.
What's that?
My one lock that we're going to the opposite, we're going to pick the Raiders, so we're going opposite.
You're picking the Raiders to win because you believe the Vikings will hammer the Raiders.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're saying. We're trying to pick the losers. Yes. So you think the Raiders aren't going to have much success at Minnesota?
Yeah.
Elaborate on that for a little bit.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be tough. I think when you look at what's going on in Minnesota, they're a team that – their defense supposed to be one of the better defenses in the league. In the league, hadn't been doing that yet. You know, you look what happened last week. They let a game that they could have probably won. They let the quarterback get off to a hot start, and they just couldn't come back and win that game. And you look at Kirk Cousins. Here's a guy that everyone gave him all this money, and he's looking and he's scratching his head. What's going on? Is he an elite quarterback? So I think this is a time for them. If they're going to show up, they need to show up now.
Baldy, what do you make of this Minnesota team? I'm going to ask you about the Raiders after it, but Kirk Cousins, I mean, they gave him the 3-year deal, fully guaranteed, almost $90
million. You know what his record is over 5 years right now? He's 500.
That's
And he said, if we're going to do anything, I can't be a 500 quarterback anymore. I got to do better. And they had plenty of chances to win that game.
Plenty.
21-16. You know, I mean, right now, they make the interception in the end zone. Green Bay's defense right now is like they might become the Bears this year. That Jair Alexander and Darnell Savage are incredible players, and that front is real. And Mike Pettine can coach, you know, talented players. He did with the Jets, and he's got a talented team. Dalvin Cook is that offense right now. They can't get they really haven't been able to get the ball to Stephon Diggs or to Thielen right now. And that's who they pay their money to win these games with. And they haven't been able to get the ball to them.
What do you make of this Raiders team? They look good in week one against Denver, then they struggled against the Chiefs,
pissed me
but
off
everyone
last
struggles
week.
Against
you know,
the Chiefs.
They're down 28-10 in the third quarter. They drive right down the field. It's first and goal at the four. This Josh Jacobs is
ball.
A stud. He's not even on the field, and they make this throw to Terrell Williams in the end zone. It's pick six. It was a horrible throw by Carr. I don't know what happened to the receiver. But, like, you're first and goal at the four. The week before, they just gave the ball to Jacobs down there, and he just finished it in the paint. Like, they could have gotten back in a game against Kansas City.
Chris Jones had a pretty big game against the Raiders. He is a scary defensive tackle. You think maybe that had something to do with not wanting to run it? Obviously, you can't just abandon it because there's a good defensive tackle.
No, I mean, but the Raiders' offensive line with two backup guards has played well. They've run the ball well. You know, that kid ripped off a 51-yard run last week. I mean, like, he's talented, and he's physical. Like, he'll stiff-arm you, he'll run you over, he'll throw your shoulder into you. Like, he wants to – he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, Jacobs is. And then when you look at that play, that was a check. That was a run. It was a run in there, and you saw Carr. He checked out.
He saw one-on-one out there.
That's exactly what he saw, bro.
And he's and then, you know, he's like this, like, what happened?
Why'd
and
I'm
like,
stop?
But why would you not – but they didn't even have Jacobs on the field. Like, I actually posted it a couple days ago. I said, if the Raiders ever get inside the five again this year and they don't give it to Josh Jacobs on first down, like, you're not playing the game the right way.
I mean, you did spend a first round pick on him, so you made the investment.
And you invested in Trent Brown and, you know, Rodney Hudson. Like, they're going to get their line back eventually.
This week, right? Well, you're going to get one of them.
Yeah,
What's the offensive lineman from he's played with the Rams?
Mm-hmm. Incognito.
That's Richie Incognito. He had a 2-game suspension, so Richie's coming back. Yeah. So you should be a little.
Yeah, you get Gabe Jackson back eventually.
But Baldy, here's one from the 619 in the text line from our producer who sent this to me, saying, "When you do Baldy breakdowns or host Game Pass, what type of plays do you like to feature, and why those? So how do you go about selecting the plays that you feature on Baldy breakdowns?"
Well, we did 18 players in film sessions this year on Game Pass. So every player was different. We talked to Andrew Luck, and we talked about his love of tight ends and, you know, red zone offense. You know, when we had a guy like George Kittle, you know, the first thing I wanted to show was George Kittle's ability to block. You know, and I'm like, you know, he went to Iowa. He was 200 pounds. And, you know, they put him at tight end. Like, even at 200 pounds, he had to learn how to block. You know, his dad's an offensive line coach at that time at Oklahoma. And so, like, we put him, like, just, like, taking defensive ends in this league and hooking them and taking them off the ball. And he loved that part. And then we got into Kyle's offense with him, and we showed some play action and, you know, how he set this NFL record last year. And, you know, so, I mean, every player is a little bit different. We kind of cater to him. Akeem Hicks, like, is just a guy that's just so – his story is incredible. Like, Akeem Hicks, he was working at DirecTV. Like, his whole college career fell apart, and some guy in Saskatchewan, Canada said, we got a scholarship for you at University of Regina. You want to come play here in Saskatchewan? Mm-hmm. They didn't know where Saskatchewan was. Like, you went up there and played for 4 years. Like, everybody's story is a little bit different, so we kind of catered to it.
You had everyone on high alert back there with Regina, by the way. University of Regina with an R. You should have seen these two balls.
No mispronunciation with me here. All right?
That was great.
Yeah.
I've never seen these two kids react more dramatically at University of Regina.
The minds are in the gutter. Right where they belong.
I'm praying for you,
Steven. I'm trying to pull back the curtain. Poor Steven had a heart attack back there.
My man!
When you're breaking down George Kittle, is he the real deal? Is he as good as he produced last season? Because some try to make the case, well, maybe, you know, he's the only weapon, so those are some glamour numbers he's not going to be able to maintain. But is he every bit as good as advertised?
He's a great player. Yeah, you know, and he's a great teammate. So he's not going to catch. Like, you could just already tell he's not going to have that type of, you know, season.
Offense can't be that dependent upon him.
You can't be that dependent on him. And so, I mean, there's going to be games where he's going to wear the hat and he's going to have 120 yards receiving, but it's not going to be like that every week. It'd be a bad thing. Like, they're not going to have a good team if he's so far out in front of everybody else. You've got to get the receivers involved, the wide receivers involved. But what we saw last year, though, was, you know, his ability after the catch and his speed. Like, he's got breakaway speed.
He's capable. Right.
He can finish. You know, he can finish plays, and he's going to – and he's good with the ball in his hands.
When you did last week, you saw the game against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I thought he did such a phenomenal job blocking.
Yeah.
And you're talking about blocking defensive ends, getting out and cutting guys at the end. I mean, cutting down safeties. He was huge in the run. He knew they were doubling and tripling. He's like – he seemed like played so angry last week because he knew they were trying to take him out of the
pass. He got the one bootleg going to the right, then, you know, and he put the ball. He's running down the sideline, and he personally puts his ball in the other arm to stiff arm the opponent. You know, like, he sees him coming. I don't know if it was William Jackson, but he just puts him down, like Kirkpatrick, I think it was, and he just stiff arms to the ground, and he gets another 10 yards. Like he is a great team player. It's, you talk to George, you get to know George. Like, he, Like, I remember when we did the film session, his dad was in the room. His dad is as strong as George is. His dad was an offensive line coach, Coach Lane Johnson, Oklahoma, a bunch of good guys. You know, that's the type of person he is. Like, it's about team to him. And he'll sacrifice any individual goals for the team.
I posed a question to these two earlier in the week. I want to pose it to you because it's something historic we're dealing with this weekend. There are 2-point spreads in Las Vegas that are astronomical, right? The Dallas-Miami game and the New England Jets game. So you've got to pick one of the four. You're either going to lay 23 points with Dallas, or you're going to take 23 points with Miami, or lay 22.5 with New England, or take 22.5 with the Jets. Your life is on the line. You have to pick one to win, to save your life. Which of those four sides would you want to be on?
I'd be on Dallas' side.
You'd lay the points with Dallas.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people you could ask that question to would be willing to take one of the two underdogs. If your life's on the line, how many people are like, I'll take the 23 with Miami. I think this is the week, right? Like, you're definitely going to, I would say 80, 85%.
I'll tell you what, real quick, though, just a side note to this, because people have researched this. The last time two lines have been this big, 20-plus points. You got to go back to the fifth week of 1987, which was a strike.
Look at this guy.
It was the strike, though. So it was the third, it was during my era, but it was the third week of the strike. So it was actually replacement players, which was totally threw off all the lines. But you have to go back much further than that to ever find two games in the NFL season where two games are 20-plus points on the line.
It's insane. Yeah. Just to find one is extraordinarily rare.
But what you're telling me, that's telling us already, is this already is a league of have and have-nots. Like, it's just that, it's already separated like that, this quickly.
Well, you've got teams that appear to be intentionally trying to lose. I mean, Miami is god-awful, and I think I had this take first after week one that they may be the worst football team in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
That's my take.
I played on one of those teams. I played on a 1-15 Indianapolis team. Like, we were awful. And we had 8 guys break their leg that year, like 8 broken legs.
Eight
it was like somebody had that
legs?
That voodoo doll, you know, and we just collapsed. But, I mean, we were one of the worst teams in 1990 or 91, whatever it was.
I was pointing out the 78 Bucks, which was 0-14, and we mentioned the winless Lions, I think, was the team that was thrown out.
They were terrible. At the end, they had the flyer that went around town. They were getting ready to celebrate the 0-16 party going into Week 17, and everyone who knew about that was like, we're definitely betting against them, and they did what they normally did. They came out in a lot of games that year. They'd score and get up 7-0, and Lion fans would be like, yes, this is the week.
Well,
before you could blink, they'd be down 21-7.
That was Matt Millen, was the general manager. Yeah. I'm friends with Matt, so I can say this. But, you know, they called it the Millen Man March. So they were all like marching out of Ford Field.
Wow.
Even his kids were laughing about it.
Wow.
Dad, they're calling it the Millen Man March, man. What are you going to do, Dad?
I love Matt.
Everybody loves Matt.
We got to pick four losers here. We got to pick four losers for this contest. We're the ones picking losers. It's us protesting against the station for forcing us into a contest and not offering a prize. Even like some fake prize. Even if it's just a certificate, it's got to be something.
Even if it's 18 pieces of bacon, you know, which is what Brian Baldinger was given by our boss earlier. I mean,
Water, which is what we were given.
Pretty much.
And bread.
Yeah, and some bread, too.
Good old bread and water.
Jesus' last meal? Bread and water, if I'm not mistaken.
Hi.
So, here's where we're at. We're in protest. We're picking intentionally. We're picking losers every week. We're doing a damn good job of it. 2-6 so far. So, first game up, Vikings laying 9 against the Raiders. What's the losing side there? The losing side. You're saying that you think the Vikings cover that spread, which means we should take the Raiders. Is that correct, Lo?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man.
That's a flag.
Yeah, that's 5.
That's 5 yards, Baldy. You hate to penalize a 4-time Pro Bowler, but you know, and that's my job as the ref to flag him.
Yes.
And now he's looking at 1st and 15. Odds are the fullback's coming off the field. We're going, you know.
Yeah, now you gotta throw the ball.
We're going 10 personnel.
Came running out all excited, jumped off sides, and yank him to the sidelines. Where are you at on this one?
I think that the Raiders side is the winning side, so I would go on the Vikings. I think the Raiders are gonna cover.
Baldy,
myself.
Who covers this spread right here?
I think the Vikings cover the spread.
I think they cover the 9.
Yeah.
So you've got the Vikings covering. You've got the Vikings covering.
Right.
You're saying the
Raiders
cover.
Yeah.
I'll say the Vikings cover. We'll make it 3. So the pick is going to be the Raiders.
Right.
The pick is going to be the Raiders.
Yes.
Because we believe that we're all trying to pick the losers here. I don't think we're going to make any fans amongst Raider Nation right now, but we will keep it moving. Man versus machine, we always go the opposite, right? So we all have the Steelers, so we're taking the Niners.
Yep, perfect
sense. All right, we hedge out on that one. Sunday Night Football, Rams in Cleveland against the Browns. Rams laying 3 at Cleveland. Who wins, who loses? You can say it however you want, and then we'll reposition.
And then we'll decipher. Okay.
Yeah. Just tell me what. Just tell me your thoughts on how the game ends.
Browns.
Browns what?
Brown,
what?
Brown wins. Yep.
Browns win.
Because Browns, you like the Browns to actually win that game.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm. Baldy, what are you thinking?
Man, I haven't seen anything from the Browns that make me believe that they can beat this Rams team. So if we're going the opposite way, I would take the Browns.
Most confusing segment in radio.
It is.
But you actually like the Browns to win, you said, so you're taking the Rams. Is that what you meant?
Yes. He thinks the
well,
Browns
are win. It's okay if you need to change. I'm just trying to – it's confusing, so
it
we're trying to get
some –
it goes against our brain and structure.
Exactly.
It's like a Kyle Shanahan offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know where you know, you're going.
You know,
I'm going the other way.
That's exactly what I want.
Yes. I'm – when the game ends on Sunday night, don't worry about anything but this. What happens in that game?
The Rams win.
The Rams win that game. Do the Rams cover 3?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got the Browns then for this. You've got the Browns.
Yes.
I'm going the other way.
I'm taking the Browns. It doesn't even matter. I'm taking the Browns. We're picking for the Browns because I want the Rams to cover.
Keep explaining the game.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Finally, Bears minus 4 at Redskins. We'll start with you. Bears minus 4 Monday night at Redskins.
I think the Bears cover the 4, so the pick would be the Redskins.
Bears cover the 4?
So the Redskins cover the 4. I think they win the game outright.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think the Redskins, so I'll take the Bears.
Okay. What are you thinking?
I'm with Dibs.
You're with Dibs?
Yep.
All right, I'll side with you guys on this one. We'll go ahead and take that. So we are, who are we on?
We're on the Redskins. Because we think
that's
I'm
a lot
Bears.
Of points
yeah.
Monday Night Football. I think it's a pretty good pick, Paul.
Yeah,
the Bears.
All right, good
so
stuff.
So our official picks are Raiders, Niners, Browns, and Redskins. Those are our official four losers. Yes, sorry,
all
local
right.
teams, but.
Yeah, we just bet against everyone in the Bay Area.
Well, we just picked the local teams. But we're trying to lose. What?
All right, we're coming back for the finishing kick. Low versus Dibs. I'll actually try to pick winners. We got Bet162. We'll take more of your calls if you want to jump in. 888-957-9570. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here is Stephen Langford. Probably set to make 2 or more mistakes with what's coming up on the game.
After that segment, yeah.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Dialpad. The 49ers get ready for their first home game of the season with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Defensive end Dee Ford missed practice this week with a knee injury. Should we expect to see him on the field on Sunday? Bonte Steine and Guru will ask former 49ers defensive lineman and 95.7 The Game NFL insider Ian Williams at 12 o'clock. The Raiders are on the way to Minnesota to take on the Vikings for their first road game of the season. Pregame starts at 8 o'clock with kickoff at 10 right here on 95.7 The Game. Remember, listen to 95.7 The Game on your smartphone or your smart speakers. Just tell Google, listen to 95.7 The Game. Dialpad is changing the game for business communication. Host calls and meetings in the cloud. Put a business line on your cell phone and get analytics to make every call smarter. Over 60,000 businesses trust Dialpad to bring their phone system into the 21st century. Visit dialpad.com. Coming up, Low versus Dibs with Baldy in studio for the rest of the show. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 again.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Baldy, if you had the opportunity, would you play golf with O.J. Simpson?
I'd pass. I'd pass.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Especially when he puts the glove on.
I mean, See, the reason we ask people that is Lo said yes. And then we asked Lo, because OJ has these videos he puts up on Twitter.
Right.
Talking about his fantasy team. Lo said if he was with him and he was asked, he would also shoot the video for OJ. And we found that to be interesting.
Yeah.
So we asked other people what they think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to pass.
So, I'm with you, and so is Dibs. It's just Lowe's really wants to play golf with him.
Dibs, really? Is this what you're going to do today? Really, Dibs?
Enough, buddy.
That's what fullbacks do, though. You know, they just lead the way for the running backs, man.
No, I'm not leading the way for that one. This guy, Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, of course.
He's coming on the show the other day, and, you know,
he moved to Vegas. Yeah.
So, west side of Vegas.
West side of Vegas. So Joe starts off, hey, Rod, thanks for joining the show. And he said, thank you. Thanks for having me. And he goes, okay, first question. Hey, Rod, have you hung out with OJ?
Yes, he did.
Rod just laughed. I called him later on the day. I said, do you know what you did? I said, what? But you are.
Man.
First of all, I asked him if he had seen OJ, not hung out with OJ. I would never think that Rod Woodson, unlike you, would be hanging out with OJ Simpson. But they both are in Summerlin, which is the west side of Vegas. So you figure you go to Safeway. We were all, when I was living there, we were all going to the same Safeway. OJ's got to get groceries, doesn't he?
Sure. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
When you
but it's Rod Woodson.
Yeah, Rod laughs.
Rod is like, he's one of my favorite people I've ever worked with, met.
Right.
Like, he's just like, you can, like, he's so, such a good man, person, right? Like, Rod, five kids, father, like, Hall of Fame player, like, just so solid. Like, I'm not jumping out of the box.
He's a straight shooter, no doubt. No doubt.
See, I didn't know that. I'm not the host, Rod Woodson.
And the fact that it was the leadoff question is what made it so great, because he walked him right into it.
I wanted to set the tone.
But Joe, don't you have to at least butter him up a little bit? Rod, welcome to the family here.
He had been on the week before, so I figured, you know, now that we're all friends, we can really get down to business of the west side of Vegas.
But here's how Rod got him over the top, though. So, Rod,
this is later in the interview.
He finished the interview, and Rod's walking. He's out walking. He's breathing heavy, and we're like, hey. Working out, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm out getting my walk, exercise in." Joe said, "Hey, there's a great camp. You can go up this mountain,
Red Rock Canyon.
Red Rock, yeah, and it's only like $30." Ross, I ain't paying no money. So then Rod tried to go over the top. He would have been.
Hey, hammered me. He's not going to spend money. What was the line? His favorite? What did he say?
He ain't going to pay the money.
He hikes on the streets.
He hikes on the streets. Yeah. That's what he said.
Hikes on the street. I ain't paying no money.
It's a year long. You get in for a full year at Red Rock. You can bring people, the whole car. I just thought, you know, $30.
I respect Rod, man. I walk on the street too before I pay $30.
He came in studio like maybe 7 years ago when he lived in the Bay Area and he was coaching here.
Pleasanton.
To your point about Rod, he's such a straight shooter. I like to, you know, maybe joke around and slap it around every now and again. And
yeah, here and there.
It was tough to get him to even crack a smile, let alone laugh. So I was on my P's and Q's that day, Baldy.
Oh.
Serious man. He's serious business, no doubt.
You know,
you could have told me that in advance.
You know, like it's funny because Rod can, you know, lighten up.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
He'd do all that. But, like, serious, you know, though. The NFL, like, he wants to talk X's and O's. Like, he's like a strategist.
Right.
You know, about coverages. And like, they got him doing these shows, the NFL Network, and, like, they're not doing that. And it was just like, you just drive him nuts. Like, can we just talk some football? I'm like, come on, Bob. Like, come on, Rod. We'll go back in the film room. Let's go break some. We would do it all, like, in a film room.
Right.
You know, and break it down. Like, he's such a smart player, man.
He's very intuitive of the game. We had another guy that we had, because we have a lot of great guys on the show.
You know what's funny, though, real quick, like, when you were talking about Richard Sherman going to safety, like, Rod went there. But, like, Rod was, he's just built different. He runs different. Like, he was a world-class, you know, hurdler and sprinter. Like, you know, world-class returner. Like, he just has different speed than Richard Sherman. Like, he made the switch, but not every corner can do that.
No, I couldn't imagine. I mean, Charles Woodson was someone who was
Charles.
Right. But Woodson, of course, again, world class.
Right. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That different it factor. Oh, and we had another guy on the show, because we get a lot of these great.
Yeah.
And him and Joe had the same type of exchange, but he didn't know this guy was a little different.
Yeah.
Charles Haley. But it was face to face.
Oh, yeah. This was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This was at the Super Bowl. I didn't ask him about OJ. I don't remember what. Lowett had his Super Bowl party the night before. This was when we were here in when the Super Bowl was here for Broncos Panthers, sorry. And we're out really late. And it was the final day of Radio Row. So we're over there, and like Chuck Liddell was with us for an hour and a half. It was just chaos. And Haley was with us. I got wise. I can't remember what it was. Haley was not having it. And I started looking around. I was like, man, this was a tactical error of the highest magnitude.
You know, when Haley looked at him,
he was about to lose his mind. I was like, damn.
I got a Haley story. So I get done playing in 94. And in 95, a friend of mine that I played with in 4 years in Indianapolis was a center for the Cowboys, Ray Donaldson. Great, great player, Bulldog. So I'm in the Cowboys locker room. Now, they're playing in Philly at Veterans Stadium, and I'm doing stuff for the Eagles, pregame radio, all that kind of stuff. So I'm in the locker room before the game, and I'm talking to Bulldog. Like, we're buds, right?
Right.
Haley comes over, and he's like, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm friends with Bulldog. Get the hell out of here. Like that. So I thought he was like just busting my chops, right? No, he was dead serious, man. Like, he was going to fight me right there.
Told you.
And Ray's like,
told you.
Ray looked at me, he goes, go. Baldy, you better. I'll catch you after. Like, Ray, they knew, and Ray didn't back down to nobody. But like, Haley gave me that look, like, you know, like he was half cocked, like he was getting ready. I don't know if he was ready to throw chairs and get ready for the game, but like, I got the Charles Haley. Yeah, I got it.
Sidney Chad was gonna cut him. You know, when Ricky Jackson came here,
yeah,
and because Ricky don't play either,
Club
57. Yep. So Ricky got two dudes, two boy dogs, ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
And Ricky said, I'm probably going to lose this battle. Yeah. So Ricky was going to get his knife. Yeah. Ricky will cut you.
What was the disagreement? They were both on defense, so it's probably not like they were doing one-on-ones against each other, right?
It's just when you
These guys are just...
He went and got his gun one day for Matt Millen. Matt Millen was there, and Charles Haley's in the locker room, and Matt's like messing around. And that was like, and like Ray Bob.
It's crazy.
Ray had to go out there and like settle Charles down, and, you know, like Ray Rhodes was the defense coordinator back then. You know Ray Bob.
Ray Rhodes have a couple pops with you.
Yes, he would. You're talking about some Benning cars? Ray would be with you on those cars now.
This is like great stream of consciousness NFL radio.
He right in Texas now.
No, you would have loved Ray because, Joe, you're like, hey, Ray, coach, you think you're going to win? How much you got on him? Boy, Ray, I'm going to come after him, Ray. You want to bet it under?
Like, Bill Walsh is, he had to, settle, Charles Haley down. Like, that was Ray's job. Yeah. Hey, he's on the warpath today, man. Go take care of him.
I got lucky that day.
Dodge the bullet, coach.
Yeah, I got lucky that day. All right. Jeez.
Stories.
the stories, that's the thing that people are reacting to.
But that's
the
thing about stories. Like, we all play these charity golf tournaments, and, the fans that play, they just want the stories.
Right.
But, these stories are all tucked away, but, something has to trigger them. So that's all that's happening with me and Lo here. But that's from our era, that's the money and whatever we'd made was fine. But the stories are what you remember.
What was Lo's always told some good stories about Bure and other games that showed up on the flight.
Listen, and you know what's funny about Bure?
Tell him.
It's a Cajun card game, right? The pots always got bigger the closer you got to landing. So if you were down, just like a gambler on Sunday, you lose
chase
1 o'clock games, you're chasing.
Football.
You're chasing all the way to that last game. So the guys are losing on those card games to Mbure. Those pots got big. When those wheels started coming down before you're getting on the ground, that's when the biggest pot was. And I remember one day we were playing Mbure, in training camp, and one of the wide receivers' dad was in the game, and we were taking his money from him. And, at the end, after we took all his money from him, he's penniless. He's like, hey, dude, can I get the money back? And Get out of here, man. We ain't giving no money back.
No money back.
No.
Man.
There's no sympathy, man.
No. I've seen guys write hot checks.
Was it taking how the did change? It work? Yeah. Were you settling once the plane landed? Was that the rule?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about once the plane land and people are getting off, guys are still playing and on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
And people are exiting the plane. They're like, I got to get my money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen.
Oh, yeah. No. They're still on. Everybody's off the plane. And we got one more pot going.
One more pot.
Yeah. One more pot.
And they're serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, come on. I've seen a guy lose a freaking 50 grand. And then and Derek Brooks. Yeah. I'm like, D, why'd you do this to this dude? D. Brooks did it to a young guy.
Derek Brooks to a rookie. This was in Tampa.
Yeah. Brooks is like, all right. And this. Smiling the whole time. It's those bad days. The next day you go to practice and you see the guy just right hand.
Guy's wearing your chain?
Yeah, he's wearing his chain. Signing over the car.
We had a guy on our team that got his ass kicked, right? And the next week in practice, there was a repo guy coming to take his car. Take the car out of the parking lot. Repo was coming. Take the car.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
All right. More Bure stories. Lo versus Dibs all coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Let's shout out some local high school football matchups. Buchanan Clovis at De La Salle, 7:30 p.m. Number 8, Wilcox at number 9, Pittsburgh. Number 14, Campolindo at Hayward. Number 17, Los Gatos at Saratoga. Homestead at King's Academy. And Carlmont at Palo Alto.
Those are some good matchups. I like that. Campo had a tough time with McClymans. I'm surprised that Mac didn't make it on there. I'll have to talk to our producer about that omission.
Yes, for anyone who may not have heard their high school, this is a responsibility for the producer, John Curley. He brings them in. So if your school has been left off, you take it up with Curley. I heard nothing about the Moo or Hanford or anything down there.
Well, you got Buchanan, which is Clovis, which is a big matchup. And interesting about De La Salle, Joe, they have not lost to a team from Northern California in over 30 years.
Wow. Now,
De La Salle.
30 years?
I believe it's back. Maybe it's at least 20 years because the streak started in 91.
Regardless,
so.
It's incredible.
We tried to schedule them. They didn't want to schedule us back then when we were in Lemoore. So
who's that? What school is
the
that?
Moo. The Moo.
The L-Town.
Yeah. Moo HS?
Yeah.
MHS, Moo High School.
Little Lemoore is a very small town. We didn't have a stoplight growing up. Charlie Jones played for the Chargers. Yeah. Tommy Jones. We had so many guys. Gene Smith. We had like 10 guys go.
What was it? Is the high school just like just, you got a great.
Yeah, Tommy Smith from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some. I mean, the place, the L town is.
But where is it?
It's middle of nowhere, right in the Central Valley.
Yeah.
What's the name of the high school?
Like Bakersfield?
Lemoore High School. Bakersfield's about 75 miles south. Fresno's about 40 miles north, so we're small.
Much better areas to find yourself in.
It's a small...
Stuck in the middle.
Yeah. They don't know, though.
If you've ever, driven from Vegas to Reno, you come across Lemoore like six times on the way. Stephen King wrote a book about that drive. That's of all the cross-country trips you can do, don't ever do Vegas to Reno or Reno to Vegas. Don't ever do it. You're in the
middle disappear.
Of nowhere. Stephen King, Dolan's Cadillac is about that drive. That drive is so creepy. You go through this place called Goldfield. These towns are nothing. There's nothing around.
Yeah.
Goldfield's got this haunted hotel. It's got this radio station. Yeah. It's got nothing. You go through some of these
towns.
They
got a card game going on somewhere, though.
There's some Blu-ray.
Right. Just a small town boy. You like that song,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
You know where's he from? Lemoore.
Is that right?
Come on. We got stars there. These guys are hating on the L town.
Everybody's got something.
Living in a lonely world. Come on.
All right. Journey, right?
Yes.
Journey,
yes. Come on.
I got you, man.
We're good.
I can even that song in one note.
Let me tell you something, buddy. You are not good. Okay, so that's a favorite line of mine. Come on, it's from a movie.
Okay,
it's not actually personal.
Okay, I thought you
were ready for Low versus Dibs?
Yes, let's go.
All right, but now Baldy's going to be in on this too. Baldy's going to pick the games. No spreads.
Okay,
we'll do you two. Baldy will go third. So
we're not
no
trying
one
to pick the loser here.
No, you just standard pick 'em. Baldy will go third, so that there will be no persuading of you two. This is a running tally. They have a bet every year on this. Dibs has won the first two seasons of Low versus Dibs.
Two-time champ, Baldy. A guy is 16 years in the NFL, yet he's losing out to a junior college tennis
player. I got you, Dibs. Those are bragging rights.
They are.
It's pretty sad. I mean, if I was a former NFL player losing to a guy who ran cross country in high school, I'd be pretty embarrassed. But
look at a little trash talk before we get started.
Yeah, tennis player too.
I never heard anything.
Ask him has he washed my feet though, and like skinned my feet and washed and got all the fungus out of my toes. He's done it.
We had an over under bet on the Browns last year. Baldy,
you gave him a real pedicure.
No,
sequel to Dolan's Cadillac. Dolan's foot.
Coach, I nailed it. 5.5.
You got that? Is that on some social media?
It's everywhere.
Somewhere?
We have T-shirts too.
Baldy, it was unfreaking brutal.
You got him as gnarly and nasty as possible, huh?
Didn't have to, Baldy.
All right. Didn't have to. All right. This is
old
a lot.
Catchers built
in. Low versus Dibs. We are all tied up. All tied up after Dibs had the Jaguars last night. So Low had a 2-game lead after week one. Dibs won week two by a game. Takes last night, so now it's all evened up. Because you won last week, you get to determine who goes first and who goes second today. So how are you going to start it with game one?
I'll go first. That's fine.
You're going to go first for game one?
Sure.
All right, music please.
Throughout the history of time, legendary battles have been waged across the entire sports landscape. Ali versus Frazier, Bird versus Magic, Manning versus Brady. And now, perhaps the fiercest rivalry of them all, Lorenzo Neal.
You gotta run. When you play football, newsflash, you gotta be able to run, Dibs. So,
versus Dan Dibley.
Quiet, Lo. Shut your mouth, Lo.
Every Friday at 9:45 during the NFL season. Who will win this epic showdown? Find out now.
It's time for Low versus Dibs, but before we get to that, from the 408 on the Chilton Autobody text line, I was in Visea earlier this week. It smells like a petting zoo and everybody is miserable. Dibs, game number one. It's the Denver Broncos at the Green Bay Packers.
I'm going with the Packers in this one, Joe. I'm not a believer of Denver. Give me Green Bay in this one.
I also take Green Bay as well.
Baldy, no point spreads.
Pack is back.
Okay, game number two. Low, we start with you on this one. It's Matthew Stafford and the Lions at Philadelphia taking on the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, I'm
going
to let them fly too as well here. I'm going with Philadelphia, Joe.
Baldy, you're closer to Philly than anybody.
I don't like what the Eagles are doing right now. They're minus Deshaun Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey. The Lions come in and surprise them.
Ooh. I don't like analysis. That, but I appreciate the honesty. Game number three, Dibs, we're back to you. It's the Ravens at the Chiefs.
It's a great game. I think it's going to be too much Patty Mahomes. Give me Kansas City in this one, Joe.
I, too, will roll with the Chiefs. I really will.
Ravens played them tough last year. They lost in overtime, but I'm going to take Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Clean sweep on Kansas City. Dibs, we come to, or excuse me, Low, we come to you. Cincinnati at Buffalo. First time in franchise history. The Bills open in week three with a 2-0 record after winning both games on the road.
Follow me, Dibbers. Right to the Bills. I'm taking the Bills. Love them.
Yeah, I will follow him. I'm on Buffalo. I already wrote it down. So I'm not
Bills Mafia.
Him.
Bills Mafia, man.
Bills Mafia.
You know how many people are going to get put through tables this weekend? Tables on fire. It's going to be crazy
at Ralph Wilson. Get the chicken
wings ready. Get the chicken wings.
Dibs, Atlanta's at Indianapolis.
I like Atlanta here on the road in the upset.
I'm Indy. I'm riding with Indy.
Indy? Baldy?
Indy's a team. They went to Tennessee and won last week. I don't care what the kicker does. Indy wins this game.
Yeah.
Low, Oakland at Minnesota.
Ooh, this is the hard one. This is tough one. I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Give me the Vikings as well, Joe.
Vikings as well?
Dalvin Cook. I mean, he might lead the league in rushing this year. I like Dalvin.
Clean sweep. Everyone likes Minnesota. So I believe now we're back to Dibs on this one. It's the Jets at the Patriots. Tough one. Take your time.
It's a squeaker, but give me TB12 in this one, Joe.
J-E-Tech. No, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
You know where we're going. Same thing.
Luke Falk is quarterback in the Jets. He's the third quarterback since the season started. The Patriots, they warm up for whatever big game they got coming up.
Right.
All right, wow. So clean sweep, same thing here. It's Miami at Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys.
Huge spread.
How about them Cowboys?
I love the Cowboys.
How about
no
them
one
Cowboys?
Messing around with that one. All right, Dibs, back to you. Giants at Tampa Bay. No Eli Manning. It's Daniel Jones making his debut.
Yeah, and I love Daniel Jones, but I don't think that he's going to hit the ground running. So give me Tampa Bay in this one, Joe.
Yeah, you know what? That's going to be a better game than people think, though. I'm too going to ride with Tampa. But the Giants are going to make some noise.
That's two Tampas.
Giants beat him last year. Saquon had his best game ever. Daniel Jones is going to surprise people. I'll take the Giants.
Ooh, interesting. I like that. Carolina like that. In Arizona. It's not going to be it's Kyle Allen, not Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'm still going to in the young running back I trust, I'm still going to go with Carolina.
Carolina?
It's a difference here. Baldy got me hyped up on Kyler Murray. Give me Arizona, Joe.
Arizona?
Cliff and Kyler gets their first win.
Arizona. They'd be 1-1-1. Look out. Here comes Arizona. All right, Dibs, back to you. New Orleans and Teddy Bridgewater in Seattle taking on the Seahawks.
And maybe Taysom Hill in New Orleans, but I'm still going to go with Seattle and Russell Wilson in this one.
I like the Saints. I really do. I like the Saints going
there. A little blood on that one. That's good. That's a good game.
I love Seattle. I like what they're doing. Russell Wilson is just fine. Just keep finding ways to win.
A game that should find its way into your TV sets towards the end. Houston at the Chargers. I think this is going to be a good football game.
That's going to be a hell of a game. I'm going to take Phillip Rivers. I know Dibs is going opposite on that, but I'm going to take Phillip.
So Dibs, you got Houston?
Go Chargers, go.
Nice try. Arnold speaks for me. Go Chargers, go.
Chargers, Bolts.
We don't want to hit it one more time? We got three people taking the vote. Come on, you know how we do with Arnold? You keep firing
Chargers,
that thing.
Go.
All right, local game. I believe I'm starting with Dibs this time. It's the Steelers at the Niners.
I'm 0-2 on picking Niners games. I hope I don't go 0-3. The Niners are going to win this game. It'll be close. Give me San Francisco.
I, too, San Francisco.
Niners.
Niners, look at that. Clean sweep. Sunday Night Football. It's the Rams at Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Ooh, this is going to be a hell of a game. Yes, flip a coin. But I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to take old Jared Goff and the Rams.
No bigger Jared Goff fan than me. He went to the same high school I did. Give me Cleveland, Joe.
Baldy.
I thought the Rams were really impressive last week. I think they stay that way. I like them.
That was a great switch hole up.
That's not a Lowe's playbook. That's a low playbook.
That's good.
Dibs, right, we'll finish with you.
Dibs!
Monday night, Bears at Redskins.
I hate Mitchell Trubisky with the heat of 1,000 suns. Give me Chicago.
I'm
on Chicago.
You know what? I can't stand Mitchell Trubisky. The guy is a hung tooth. You look at that defense. They do a lot. I'm going with the Washington Redskins. Washington beats them straight up. Watch.
Wow. Baldy.
This receiver from the Redskins, Terry McLaurin, watch out. He's as impressive of receivers I've seen come in this league.
Interesting.
Like, I like the Redskins.
Chicago is going to burn, the Bears fans are going to burn the city down if they lose that game.
They're going to burn it down.
That's a big city to burn down.
Five differences on the board this weekend. Five differences, so there will be blood. Daniel Day-Lewis, there will be blood.
No one's a bigger Jared Goff fan than me.
That was great.
We went to the same high school. Give me the Browns.
I'm sorry.
Baldy, we're pretty much all out of time. Thanks so much, man.
There's
this
no
was a
more,
blast.
No overtime or anything here?
Yeah, Baldy, you're the best.
Thanks,
no overtime.
Man.
We got who's coming in next? It's a combination
of... It's BSG.
Yeah, they'll be coming in with all their noise
Bubble
and
gut.
Their food and everything else.
But fed, though, from the breakfast that they enjoyed on the backs of the Baldy
visit. I love
Baldy
the way that your station general manager feeds you guys. It's great, man.
Yeah.
Bread
and
water was
come
impressive.
In more often, man. Yeah. Baldy gets like
are you moving out to California? You coming out?
Too expensive
Julius
for me,
Caesar treatment. All right. So, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. It's Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. Steiny, Bonte, Guru, all three of them, in any order you see fit. They're coming up next. For us, we'll see you Monday, 6 a.m. here on 95.7 The Game.
From Alameda to Fairfield to San Jose, this is KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. It's time.
Let's just put the rat on the table, Goop.
Steiny.
My thought, I die alone. I laugh the loudest today.
Yeah!
And Guru.
Hell yeah! So I go, who paid for me? She goes, sir, it's free when you're over 44.
On 95.7, The Game.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. It's a football Friday, and we got a big one on Sunday. Pittsburgh Steelers at Levi Stadium. And I'm just going to cut to the chase, because we've been talking all week about how exciting this is and how this is a big game. Finish the sentence. Finish this sentence. This is the most excited I've been for a 49er game since. Because it's been a while. It's been a while. I'll admit, I'm excited for Sunday. We may have a good football team on our hands with the 49ers, and we're going to find out more about this team Sunday. When's the last time you were this excited for a 49er game? Guys?
Mine is one of the best NFC championships I've ever witnessed, and it was Niners versus Seattle, the Richard Sherman game, Bonte, where he tipped the ball and the Niners unfortunately lost. That, to me, is the barometer. That's the last time I was excited about a San Francisco 49er game. This is big. This is playoff-like. And the fans are a part of it. They can play a part. That's why it's two scoreboards, fellas. It's the game
and Garoppolo.
And the asses in the seats.
Oh.
Yep. Not Garoppolo?
Well, that's no, three games.
Garoppolo. Scoreboard.
Oh, Garoppolo doesn't have a scoreboard anymore?
No, he's got a scoreboard.
Yeah,
this
but
is a big Garoppolo
scoreboard's kind of – the lights are off on that scoreboard because he had a pretty good game last week.
Right. No, you turn the lights back on, Guru.
I'm calling the fans to show up.
Oh, man. The fans will show up, I do believe. And you asked the question, when's the last time I've been excited for a 49ers game? It's been a long time, Steinman. We got to go back to Thanksgiving in 2014 when Richard Sherman, then the Seattle Seahawks, started eating turkey on the 50-yard line, and it felt like that was the end of the Harbaugh era. It's been a long, long time, fellas, since I was this pumped up and jacked for a 49ers game. They can go to 3-0 for the first time since 1998. Going into the bye week 3-0, and we talk about it, fellas. It's time to dream if they do improve to 3-0.
Absolutely. I wouldn't tell you not to.
You would just be a hater if you didn't.
I mean,
if they go 3-0 and you're you need to slow your roll.
Yeah,
you're a hater.
The 209 right off the bat, biggest game since the Harbaugh era, and my first line in my notes to myself: 49ers host Steelers, biggest game post Harbaugh. I mean, it's a fact. This is when it's really fun. 888-957-9570. It's Friday. We got a game coming up in 2 days. 49ers Steelers. It's the home opener. When were you this excited about a 49er team and a 49er game? Here's the other thing. What do you expect from Levi Stadium? You know, Levi Stadium, we all agree, doesn't have a signature win. It's almost lacking. I mean, it has a reputation, but it's not a great reputation. It almost feels like this could be the first tangible moment in Levi Stadium history.
Yeah.
If they could win this game. I get it. It's their third game of the season. But still, it also points to this team hasn't had a lot of success since that stadium was built.
And I'm going to go here. Whose house is it? It's Kyle Shanahan's house. He has an opportunity to put a stamp on that building this Sunday, Bonte, because Harbaugh didn't get a chance to do it. No matter what you say, they went 8-8, felt like 2-14. 8-8 is last year, and now Kyle Shanahan can get his team to 3-0. Then you start talking about the sun block. It's not hot. And the cathedral, what is Levi Stadium? I'm telling you, this is a big opportunity for the football team and the fans.
You know what, fellas? Sitting at the national championship watching Bama and Clemson, at Levi Stadium, and you see the house packed. And I said, damn, this stadium looks good when it's packed, when the vibe is clicking. You see all the flashes from the cameras. I think Levi Stadium this Sunday, Guru, can change the narrative. It could change the reputation. Because I do think the fans, the hungry 49er fans, they've been waiting for this. They've been waiting for this moment to say, hey,
all
Ryan Clark,
life.
We're not pretenders, Ryan Clark from ESPN. We're not pretenders,
did
NFL.
Did he say that?
Oh, he said they were fraudulent.
Oh,
he said they were nobody. I don't believe in Jimmy G. Jimmy G and his team, George Kittle and company, they have a chance to change this narrative, and the fan base can help with that. They can make this a true home field advantage. We've seen glimpses, Steiny, of a soul at Levi Stadium last year in the Battle of the Bay when they beat Seattle in December, but I think they could change it for good this Sunday if they put a whooping on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How about this? This is the first time the 49ers are playing a home game with a record above 500 since Week 13, 2014, that was Thanksgiving night versus the Seattle Seahawks, a 19-3 loss. That's pretty stunning, actually.
I mean, it's sad.
It's 5 years ago. I mean, what are your expectations for this game if you're a 49er fan? You got to expect they're going to win. Right?
Yeah.
And I want
Mason Rudolph to get
and
some offensive linemen fellas to get some false start calls because the place is so loud and they can't hear. Come on, Bonte is right here. O is for opportunity. I don't want to be negative, but man, if you somehow let Mason Rudolph come in here and the Steelers get back and get a win, it would be deflation city when you see me Monday morning.
And it's not going to be easy, fellas, this Sunday. Mason Rudolph, 12-19, and when he replaced Big Ben last week for 112 yards, two TDs,
but we
and an
think
interception.
It is. The narrative
right.
is this is going to be an easy
right.
layup
He's going to be able to audible. He's going to be able to clip his toenails and check to a run play. And I mean, look, Levi's, I'm expecting it to be rocking. It's the home opener, for crying out loud. It's a home opener.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.